We're up to Divrei Hayyamim, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Chof Beis. We are in the middle of discussing the 36 tzaddikim. They're really 30, the gibarim, I shouldn't say tzaddikim, 36 gibarim that were in the David. I shouldn't really say the number 36 because there are a lot more than 36. 36 is really the number that appears in the Sefer Shmuel. In Perek Chof Gimel, Shmuel Beis, Perek Chof Gimel, here we are listing more than 36, as we'll see in a few moments. Again, the basic idea of this Perek Yud Aleph begins with, it's not the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph, but it begins the Perek Pasuk Yud, where it begins, V'ele Roshei HaGiboyrim Asher LeDavid. Okay, we're listing a collection of Giboyrim, and this parallels again what it says in Sefer, the very end of Sefer Shmuel, Shmuel Beis, Perek Chof Gimel. There was also a list of the Giboyrim that were to David. So we are in the middle. Yesterday, the day before, we discussed the first six of the list of Gibarim. These six were divided into two groups, three and three. The first three, we know their names. The names of the first three, well, only two appear at least an hour listing here in Perek Yud Aleph. So to go back, the first one was Yishav'am ben Chachmoni, he was number one. Number two was Elazar. And the third is not listed here in Divrei Hayyamim for whatever reason, but does appear in Sefer Shmuel. His name was Shama. Then we had a second group of three, and we don't even have really their names. The Pasuk goes on to say one of their names, we have the three people who went and broke forth Vayivku Hashloish and Pasuk Yudches, and they brought for David water. And then it gives us a mention who's one of these three people, the Avshai Achi Yoav. He was one of the three people that actually was part of this group who broke forth to retrieve water and bring David water. David was thirsty. He said, if only someone can bring me water, I would be pleased. And indeed, three people went and they broke forth into Beis Lechem and they brought David water. We discussed yesterday all the Midrashim, what is the deeper meaning of this water that they brought for David. David refused to drink it and he poured it out before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that was a second group of three. And among that group, we have one person whose name is mentioned. His name is Avshai, who was the brother of Yoav. He was the leader of the second group of three. All we know from the Pesukim is that the second group of three did not come anywhere near to the greatness of the first group of three. They were very, very great, but not nearly as great as the first group of three. The first group of three would not associate with the second group of three, but at least Avshai, they heard about him. He had a reputation as being someone of importance. It appears from the simple reading of the Pesukim that the other two people in the second group of three were not considered very important by the first group of three. The first group of three were such elitists. They were so unique and so special, they didn't even want to associate with anyone that was on a lower level than themselves, which included number two and number three in the second group of three. But number one of the second group of three, the leader, the Pasuk mentions, he was already a player. He was already someone important. He had a reputation. But again, not on the level of the first group of three. Now we come to the next collection of people. Now the next collection of people would simply mean 30. Because everything here is divided. This number 30 appears so many times in this parak, 30. But the truth is, if you count the names, it's more like 45, 46. There are a lot more than 30. And it is explained by the Mefarshim that we're only really listing the first 30. The ones after, the number 30, when we mention that there's a group of 30, that refers to the first 30. After we finish counting to the number 30, which includes with Uriah Hachiti, then those were very mighty people, very significant warriors, but they were not on the level to be included in the group of 30. And in fact, in Sefer Shmuel, when you get to Uriah Hachiti, that's when the list comes to an end, and it stops. And then it comes out, indeed, that there are exactly 30. Not so simple to say there are exactly 30. If you go to Sefer Shmuel Perek Chof Gimel and you look at the Mefarshim, you'll have a whole long collection of Mefarshim that will try to figure out the number 36. There is an inyan of 36. If you actually count the number that's less than 36, and there are different ways to calculate the 36, 30 plus 3 plus 3, or there are 37, and one is Yoav was the leader of them all. And there are many ideas there in Sefer Shmuel which I'm not really clear, but let's see what we have now. Now, when we begin our listing of 30, we're going to focus very much on one very special person, Pasuk Chaf Beis, whose name was Binayahu ben Yehoyada. This person, Binayahu ben Yehoyada, he was ben Ishchayil. He was the son of he was a benish, meaning that he was a person who was a chayil, he was a soldier. He was a warrior, Rav Pa'olim. He accomplished great things. He was a Tenaisim Tovim. Pa'olim means deeds. Min Kav Tse'el. He was from this place called Kav Tse'el. Huhiko. What was he known for? What was his legacy? What was his... Huhiko. Eshnei Ariel Moth. He single-handedly smote the two mighty... the two great ones of the nation of Moab. So the word Ariel is a term which means a lion. Ari is a lion. El means might. Yesh le'el yodi. Lavan said to Yaakov, my hand has power. So El, when you connect the word El to the word Ari, it means a mighty lion. And this is a term referring to the two leaders of Moab. We do not know who they were. There were two kings, two warriors, two generals in the nation of Moab who were very mighty, and they were both taken out by Binayahu ben Yehoyada. V'hu yarat, he went down. What else did he do? He went down, he descended. V'hika, and he smote. Es ho'ari, a lion, besocha bar, in a pit, b'yom hasholeg, on a snowy day. This simply, on a very simple level, is just describing his extreme power. Rashi and the Mitzudas explained that the day that a lion has the most power is a cold day. The colder it gets, the more power a lion has.
A lion is in the bar.
A lion was in the bar, so that the bar is in a constrained area, which means that when a person enters the bar, it's a very large pit, obviously, you are vulnerable. If you're in a big open field, then you're not as vulnerable because you can run away from the lion. But when you are in a confined area, you are more vulnerable. It's very cold. Human being is not at his full strength in the cold. When it gets very, very cold, a person freezes and you can't control your reflexes. You can't control your muscles. But a lion, the nature of a lion is the colder it gets, the more a lion feels invigorated to fight. And snow, what's the meaning of snow? Sarash explains this idea that when a person comes against a lion in snow, it is extremely dangerous because it is the derech of a lion to use its claws to throw snow at a person's eyes, and it blinds a person, and then the person can easily be defeated by the lion. So when you combine all of these factors together, there's no match. A human being is not a match for a lion. Number one, it's in a confined area. The person does not have a place to escape. Number two, it's very cold. A lion has more power and a person has less power. Number three, there is snow. A lion has the advantage of using the snow to blind his victim. And generally, a lion, a human being and a lion, a person is no match for a lion. A lion is much more powerful than a human being. Yet, even though Binayahu was outpowered in all of these ways by the lion, yet Binayahu ben Yehoyada was able to wipe out, to be victorious over the lion. So this simply is just an expression defining for us the extreme power and might of this individual, Binayahu ben Yehoyada. Okay, let's see the Mitzvot he explained. The Mitzvot and Rashi explained it. Pasik, yes, we did yesterday. We did Pasik Yaf yesterday. Vavishai Achi Yoav. Yeah, we did yesterday. It's fine, because I remember Chaf Aleph min Hashloisha Bashnayim. Maybe I skipped it by accident. Okay, could be that I think we did it, but.
No, we're not doing it.
Okay. So we have over here Binoyah ben Yehoyada. Now let's see over here the Mitzudas in Rashi that describes the pshat of this pasuk. Pasuk Chavez in the Mitzudas, Rav Paulim, Paul Harbe Gvuros. He's called Rav Paul because he accomplished great things. He was a very great warrior. Shnei Ariel Moav. What does that mean? Targum Yoinason says, train. Now it's not really Targum Yoinason. I think what he means Targum Yoinason is referring back to Shmuel. Because this pasuk is repeated word for word in Sefer. There is no Targum Yoinason in Ksuvin. There's what's called Targum Yosef, not Yoinason. And there's a question exactly who is this? Is it Yosef? Is that who it is? It's a whole question, who is this Yosef? We mentioned this before, like the Gemara says, Kin the Mitargim Rav Yosef. There was a person in the Gemara, one of the Tanoim Amarayim, that was a big Mitargaman. And the Gemara refers to him over and over. So someone wanted to suggest that
blind.
He was blind, that person, Yosef? That's called Mitargim, Miturgaman.
Couldn't read it, wasn't
allowed to say. So he's called Rav Yosef. So some say that he was the author of this Targum, Kid the Mitargim Rav Yosef. Or someone said, if you don't know who the author is, it's a very interesting idea, so they called it Rav Yosef. Just like today in our time, when you have a parish, a basic parish on a text, it gets the name Rashi. Rashi didn't write many things, but it's a part of our vocabulary. I need a parish Rashi, right? My father used to tell me, and you teach in NYU, so sometimes the students, they have a question. So the boys would say to my father, on the test, they give an exam, and there's a question, so they would say to my father, we need a parish Rashi for this question. So my father, he never heard that expression before, that anytime you need a simple explanation, you call it a parish Rashi. And that's why, if you look in some of it is accepted that the Mefarish, the parish on the text of Divrei Hayamim was not authored by Rashi. It's authored by some anonymous commentator, which is more accurately called the Mefarish. But it's very common to call it Rashi. And even the Rishonim sometimes, or the early Achronim, call it Rashi. Why? Doesn't necessarily mean Rabbi Shlomo Yitzchaki wrote it. It's an expression. So there are some opinions that learn it's the same. It's an amazing idea. It's the exact same thing for the Targum. The Targum was not written by Rabbi Yosef, the Amor, the Heluka Amor of Yosef. But when you have a Targum and you don't know who is the author of the Targum, it's certainly not Yoinason ben Uziel, because we know for a fact that he did not write Targum on Ksuvim. Yet we have a Targum on some parts of Ksuvim, and you don't have an author. So just like we call an anonymous commentator called Rashi, you call an anonymous Miturgamon Rav Yosef. That's why he's called Targum Rav Yosef. Can we Targum Rav Yosef? It's a very interesting idea. Okay, so we have over here the Rashi, right? The Mitzudas. The Mitzudas is Targum Yonison. It's not Targum Yonison. It's referring to the Targum Yonison in Sefer Shmuel. Because in Sefer Shmuel, indeed, there is a Targum Yonison ben Uzil. In fact, that's the only Targum. There is no Targum Unkelis on Nevi'im. Nevi'im, there's only one Targum, and it's called Targum Yonison ben Uzil. There's no Unkelis. There's no Targum Yerushalmi. Chumash has three primary Targumim. Unkelis, Yerushalmi, and Yonason ben Uziel. Nevi'im only have one Targum Yonason ben Uziel. And that's what Rashi here is quoting from. Who is this? The two mighty warriors of Moab, Targum Yonason, train Rav Revei Moab. The two mighty warriors of Moab, the Al-Shem Givuroso Kiraom Ariel. Because these two leaders, generals of Moab, were extremely mighty, they are called with this term Ariel. Ariel means a lion. Shehi Mila Murkeves, it's a contraction. Min Ari, lion, umin El, Shu'inin Chizik. Kmo Biyad El Goyim, the hand of the might of the nation. El means might. I can tell you another example. Let's say, Pastor Yecheskel, tell another example. Yesh le'el yadi. Lavan said to Yaakov, there is might in my hand. Okay, b'soy chabar. Now Rashi, here the Mitzudas explains the power of Binoyahu in the pit. Im ki amokam dochok l'hischazek bo. It's a confined area. It's dochok. So when you are in a confined area against someone or something that is stronger than you, you are limited. You are vulnerable. Biyom Hashalek, im heyos kiteva hari leschazek bo biyosef bezman akar. It is natural for a lion to have more strength on a cold day. Umiteva ha'odam lihimona mimenu hapu'ulos hachi Unios, I'm saying that right, Bitigvuras Hakor, and it's natural for a person to be weak on a day that it is very cold. Nevertheless, im kol zeh, hiskaber olav v'hikohu nefesh, he prevailed and he killed the lion. So just a general description. Rashi is something very similar. Look at Rashi Pasuk Chav Beis, Ben Ishchayil. He was called a Ben, what does it mean, an Ishchayil? A Ben Ish, meaning a human being who was a Chayil, a soldier. Dugma Ben Bilial, B'Shmuel, Ksev Ben Ishchay, Ki Kein Minog B'nei Ha'adam, Kesheroin Adam Zoriz, Oymim Zeh, Kuloi Chay. So we have the word Ben means a person. Doesn't mean necessarily a son. Like we have a Ben Bilial, a lowlife. It means a person, a certain type of person. Here also we have Ben Ishchai. He is a person who is fully alive. Chayil means his whole essence. He's a soldier. He's a powerful person. Ariel, Giborim, Balikoyach, Ari, Gibor. The word Ari means a Gibor, which is similar to the word a lion, a Gibor. V'gam El, Lashon Elei Haaretz, the mighty of the earth. So a contraction of these two words means that he was very mighty. Rapalim, Pu'ulo Shel Gvuros Harbi, also he was very, he did a lot of powerful things. V'yorad V'hikas Harbi B'soch HaBor B'yamashalek V'lechoshash Min Hatzino V'hakar. He was not afraid, he was not concerned from the cold. And the two expressions of cold, the Yesh, I mean B'yamashalek Kol Hashanu Kula Ein Harbi Mesukun Yosem B'yamashalek. There's no time when a person is more vulnerable, more in danger than the time when there's snow. Why? Because when a person comes opposite a lion in the snow, it is the nature of a lion. The lion kicks up snow opposite the eyes of a person. And the lion kills the person. So therefore, a person is mesukon. Mesukon is going on the person. Ein hari mesukon. A lion is the greatest danger for a human being on a day of snow. And vani shamati kachal zos. Rashi says, I heard this interpretation. So that we're describing here simply the mighty power of Binayahu ben Yehoyada. Many of you are probably... That's what they're called, yeah?
Means
that there was no one. Ariel is a word that refers to the base on Hamigdash. Hoy Ariel, the Psukim, and it says Shnei Binyan Ariel, Shnei Ariel Moav, which the Medrash interprets to mean that there was no one that was as great as him throughout the period of the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. He was a holy person. He was a Kohen, by the way. He was a Binyan was a Kohen. And the Mefarshim says he's a Kohen. So what is he doing? Fighting in war? In war, there are dead bodies. And a person, you become Tameh, you know, it doesn't matter. Bikuach Nefesh, for war, even if you're a Kohen, you're allowed to fight. Pinchas, he went, he killed Zimri. Oh, but he's going to become Tameh. Okay, there are different interpretations that he killed him before he let go, before he became Tameh. There are all different interpretations about Alter Chateva.
No, it says before he wasn't appointed a Kohen yet.
He wasn't a Kohen yet, okay.
He didn't know, he wasn't, it was before, okay.
So here also as well, here, but it doesn't matter. But first, over here, when you're fighting Melchemes Hashem, you're allowed to fight, even though you become Tameh, you can fight. But it means here that Shnei Ariel Moav. Why is the base Hamigdash called Moav? Because it was built, or at least the foundation was laid by David, and by his son Shlomo built it, who came from Rus HaMoaviah. So it's here we're referring to Ashohika. This is an expression, a poetic expression, which means there was no one that could match the sanctity of this individual throughout the entire period of the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. This is what it says in the Medrash. The Shnei Ariel Moav, he was the mightiest one, Asher Hika. He was the one that led the way. He was the mightiest warrior. And another, what does it mean that he went down into the pit, Biyom HaShaleg, V'huyarad V'hiko Eshoari, the lion. The Medrash says, refers to Sefer Toras Kohanim. The hardest section of Torah are the midrashim, or the section of halacha of Chumash Vayikra. All of those hard parshios, Tazria, Mitzora, all the laws of Korbanos, Medrash, Toiras, Koyhanim. He was so brilliant, Binoyahu ben Yehoyada, he was able to learn the entire Toiras Koyhanim on a short winter day. Okay, to learn Shas takes he learned Daf Yomi, it takes 7.5 years. But he was able to learn Toras Koyhanim, which is even more difficult than learning Kol HaTorah Kulo. He was able to review the entire thing on a short window day. That's what it means that he went down to the Higos HaAri. He conquered the Ari, the line of Torah, the most difficult sections of Torah in a short period of time. Okay, those are the two popular midrashim. Now, by the way, everyone knows the Sefer called, there's the Ben Ish Chai, from Baghdad, the chief out of Baghdad. He's a legend. They have today from him. I mean, there are so many. Some, we don't even realize many Divrei Torah that we say over come from him. He was an extremely brilliant, brilliant person. A very powerful dogma of what a Rav is. He was. How many years ago did he live here? I don't know.
Ben Ish Chai. I think 1890 or something.
1890 is when he died. I think earlier, not yet. Okay.
Earlier?
I think earlier. I don't know. So the Ben Ish Chai. So they are different. All of his svarim, he has a number of svarim. They're all named after one word in this pasuk. He has a sefer called Binoyahu. He has a sefer called Ben Yehoyada. It's a 3-volume sefer on the Agadita of Shas. Binoyahu is also something. Yes. Then he has a sefer called Rav Pa'olim. All of his svarim, I'm not familiar with all of his works, but all of his svarim are named after one word in this pasuk. Bin Ayahu, Sefer Ben Yehoyada, the Sefer Ben Ishchayil. These are the names of his svarim. They say about him, and he's a very Mukubal. In Baghdad, he's the side of there in Mukubal. He went to the Kever. They have his kever, it seems. This kever, there's someone there to show. They have his kever. You know where it is. So he said that he is a Nitzitz or a Gilgal or some type of whatever that means in the world of Kabbalah, reincarnation of Binayahu. His neshama comes from the neshama of Binayahu ben Yehoyada. He feels that attachment, and that's why he named all of his svarim after one word in this pasuk. Okay, so that's the basic idea. So that's where he already was a Kohen at that point in time. So that's the Muhammad Smith, so even Kohen Olah B'Mitamik. Let's go further. What else did he do? This was not the only thing that he did, and it was the only thing of his legacy, but he did more things. Pasuk of Gimel Huhika Esoish HaMitri. Another story. We don't know the details of this story, but he went and he killed Esoish HaMitri, an Egyptian man, Ish Mida. This Egyptian man was no ordinary person. He was 5 amos. Ish mida chamesh ba'ama, 5 amos tall. An average person is 3 amos. So this person that was 5 amos, yeah, that's what it says, yeah. And I think it says, if I'm not mistaken, it says in Shmuel that it doesn't just mean ordinary amos, it means ba'amas hamelech. There are different types of amos. There's a standard amas ish, and there's amas hamelech, which seems that it was larger than your average amah.
He was a Goliath.
So he was exactly. He was a very, very mighty person. Uviyad hamitzri chanis, and in the hand of this mitzri there was a spear. Kimnor orgim. Kimnor means the beam. On a weaver's loom, there's a very large beam which is used to wrap all of the material. So the handle of his spear was so thick, it was equal to the thickness of the beam that appeared on the loom of a weaver. Kimnor means the beam, the special beam of the weaver, or gim. Vayerid elav bashavet. So Binayahu went down with a little stick. He went down to fight him with a little stick. Vayigzol esachanis. And in the process of fighting him with a little stick, he was able to snatch, to steal from this mitzri, who was 5 amos tall, his mighty spear, miyad hamitzri, and he took his spear, vayahargeu b'chaniso, and he killed him with his own spear. That's the most humiliating thing in war. We're not familiar with the nature and the art of war, but it appears in ancient times The most humiliating thing you can do to your enemy is to kill them with their own weapons.
Yeah.
There was a lot of dignity. Today, we don't really appreciate this. Today, there's a war. There's just there. Drones. You know, today, the goal is you don't have to get your hands wet, get your hands dirty. Everything is to be done. Stay away, remotely. You sit in some cave in Arizona and you're playing with a video game, remote control video game, and you're flying drones over Afghanistan and you're killing terrorists. People from ancient times would laugh at us. They would laugh their head off. That's how you fight a war, you're a bunch of cowards. The way you fight a war is you go out into battle and you fight with your bare hands. No weapons, there's dignity, there's an art of war. And go a step further. How do you win the war? You humiliate your enemy and kill them with their own weapon.
Chop his head off.
What?
Chop the head off and bring it to the end of the camp.
And but how you chop their head off with their own weapon? You take their weapon and you use their weapon to chop their head off. That was God. Yeah, and you bring the head back and you show them, look what we got over here. They hang it up and everyone runs away. That's exactly what Binayahu did. He went, he fought with a little stick, he stole the spear of his enemy, and he killed the enemy with his own weapon. Very interesting pasuk. A lot of the detail, unfortunately, is lost on us in this generation. Pasuk of Dalet El Asa. These things mentioned in the past were done by Binayahu ben Yehoyada, v'loy shem. Now here we come now, and you would think, wow, he was an amazing person. He was an amazing person. Look what he did. He did these two incredible things. He went and he killed Lai, he did three things he mentions over here. He went and he killed the Shnei Ariel Moav, he killed the lion, he killed the Ishmitzri. Three different events are listed. And these events, when you add to the Midrashim, what these really mean, it means he was known as great as him in the Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, and it refers to as an incredible Talmud Chacham, and all these amazing things. And yet it says, by the way, he didn't come anywhere near the greatness of the three of the second tier. We're not even talking about the first three. The first that we learned 2 days ago of Yehoshavav, those first three, they didn't even consider him. It was an insult to mention Binayahu together with the first three. The first three were Yeshavam, Elazar, and Shama. Remember those first three? Those first three, they were so great. When you said the word, you said the name, Binayahu ben Yehoyada, they would say, who is he? Never heard of him. He's a nothing. But the second group of three, tier two, that penetrated Beis Lechem to retrieve for David Mayim, which David spilled out lefnei Hashem because he did not want to benefit from water that was taken through Mesiras Nefesh Shalai Kedin. When you'll say to them, did you ever hear of Binayahu ben Yehoyada? Of course, we've heard of him. He's a rookie. He's in the minors. He's getting there, but he'll never come to us. He'll never reach us. So it's an amazing thing. We build him up, and then we put him in perspective. It's an amazing thing. Like, where do you see such a thing like this in Tanakh? Such a thing where we different levels of greatness. And even when we describe the incredible greatness of a person, but he was a nothing connected, the first tier, and he had a little reputation for the second tier. Yeah. Yes, same exact thing. Shmuel Beis, Perek Chav Gimel. There are a lot of similarities, but a lot of differences. That's like the big discussion. What's going on? Why are we? There are different nuances of expression, why like this here and like over there different, and that's all discussed. So let's see what it says over here. Minash. So Pasuk Chaf Hei says, Pasuk Chaf Dalet one more time, Elasa Binayahu ben Yehoyada, Velo, and to Binayahu, shame, he did have a reputation, Bishloisha HaGibarim, of the three Gibarim mentioned, the second tier mentioned yesterday, who penetrated Beis Lechem to retrieve water. But Min HaShloishim, Now, bin Ashloishim, hino nichbad, relative to the 30 that we're about to list, we're going to soon go through a long list of names very quickly. We're going to list 30 giborim. He was distinguished. In fact, he was the leader among the 30. Min Ashloishim, hino nichbad, who? Bad v'el Hashloisha loiva. But he didn't come anywhere near the three who got the water for David. And certainly for the first three, he was a nothing. Vayisimeu David al mishmato. David appointed him on to be his listener, to be his chief advisor. The word mishmato is a hard word to translate. It means really his advisor, lashon of shema, to listen. Mishmato, the shoresh is shin mem ayin, shema Yisrael, to listen to David. David has a question. What do you think I should do? That's what a counselor is. You listen, and then you
the advisor talks.
What?
The advisor talks.
I can't hear.
The advisor is the one.
Yeah, the advisor. So, but before you talk, you first listen to what your leader has to say. Or maybe, that's what it means. Mishmato, a person that listened to David, he participated in advising David how to go about his affairs. Let us see the mitzudos for these few psukim. Pasuk Chav Gimel. What else did Ben-Yahu do? He went and he fought with the Mitzri. The Mitzri was an Ish Mida, Ratzulaymar, Bal Mida Gedoyla, who was very tall. V'chein Anshe Midas, we find by the Meraglim, they came, they found the giants. They were called Anshe Midas. Kim Nor, and he snatched the spear that was in the hand of the Mitzri, and the spear was Kim Nor Orgim, Beis Yad Hachanis Chaisa Kim Nor Orgim. The handle was as thick as the beam of a weaver. Chavdalid Eile Hapoalim Hohem. These deeds is what Ben-Yahu did, the three things mentioned above. V'loy Shem, Ratzulaymar, Shehoyim Mufursum Ligibor. He had a good reputation as being a Gibor. Ben Shloisha Hagiborim Shoyavei Hamayim, the pastory. Shehoyu Roshi HaShloishim. The three mentioned before, who were the three who retrieved the water, were the leaders of the 30 that are soon going to come. V'Ratzulaymar, Sheim Kol Givurasam, Hichshivu gam oso legibor. With all of his mighty deeds, he was considered to be a gibor. He had a good reputation. Aval, but shloisha hagiborim harishayim loy hichshivu oso lemeuma. But the first three, Yeshavam and Elazar and Shama, they didn't consider Ben-Yahu to be he was a nothing to them.
He wasn't equal to them.
Relative to the greatness of the gvura shahay bohem that they had. Pasuk chafei min hashleishim who amurim b'shmul beis. Ben-Yahu, relative to the 30 that are listed in Shmuel Beis and are also going to be listed now in a few moments. In this coming lamata, hino nichbad mehem. He was more distinguished. He was the greatest among the 30. Ulazel loy chashvu imohem. And therefore, he's not counted among them. Avoloi ba lemala shloisha sha'aveh hamayim roshei hashloishim ulezeloi hechshivu gami mohem. So in other words, he's nishtahi nishtaher. And this is very important. This is a very important statement. This statement of the mitzudos and what he says is very controversial. Because if you look at all the rishonim, they don't necessarily agree. There is a very big discussion. It's way too complicated for me to figure out what's going on. The number 36 is a very important number. Not so much here, because here there's a lot more than 36, more so in Sefer Shmuel. It says in Sefer Shmuel there were 36, there's a grand total of 36 Giborim. And the big question is, who is included in this number 36? L'mayin nafka mina, I have no idea why it's important to know who is included. And there are different ways to count. There's 3, and then 30. Right? The first three, Yeshavam, Elazar, Shama. Then there's another three, the three who retrieved the water. Then there's another list. So if you take 3, 3, and 30, wonderfully, you have 36. The problem is, what about Ben-Yahu? Where does he? Is he part of the 30? Is he part of the three? Because it doesn't give us the names of the three people who retrieved the water. It only gives us the name of one of them, or maybe two of them. And that's the question. So along comes the Mitzudos, he's taking sides, and he's saying that Ben-Yahu is not part of the three, and he's not part of the 30. So he's not really part of this 36. Or maybe he is part of the 36 in some other shape and form.
An alternate.
Right, so this is, he's somewhere, not here, not there. That is how he wants to learn. So what was his job? He was put he was a mishmatoi liyois imo l'shmoya v'lasos kol asher yitzav. According to the Mitzvot, mishmato means he was there to listen and to do whatever David wanted. He was a servant of David. He was one of David's right hand, David's close associates. Let's see, we hear Pasuk Hafei in the Rashi. In the Rashi, Pasuk Hafei, Min HaShleisha, Nichbar Hu, Ve'el HaShleisha, L'chlal Gevuras HaShleisha Loi Ba, L'Oysen Gimel Shemaskil Ma'lo, L'chein Ksiv, Lo Be'elaf. That's why there's a Krivich Sif. The Loi, if you look in Pasuk, back in Pasuk Hafei, it says, Min HaShleisha Muhino Nichbar Hu, Ve'el HaShleisha Lo Va. So the low is with an aleph. It's not a krivich sif. I'm sorry. Low va. He did not make it to the greatness of the three. He was on a lower level. He was appointed by David to be al nish mato loshen minui appointment. B'chein b'nei amon mish maton appointment. Okay. So that concludes the story of Ben Yahu. This reminds me. I know someone I know in yeshiva. This is many years ago. He was telling about Rav Chaim Knievsky, someone who knew very well the Stipler. Everyone knows Rav Chaim Knievsky, maybe good, maybe be well, is the son of the Stipler. So, and he's considered today to be mamish to Gadol Hadar. So, someone years ago, many a long time ago, he told me that his father, he knew the Stipler very, very well, and he used to give very high praise to Rav Chaim Knievsky. He used to always Rav Chaim Knievsky. He knows kol HaTorah kula. But he always conclude his description of Chaim Kanievsky, but he didn't come anywhere near his father. The Stipler says he can't imagine who the Stipler was. He can't even begin to imagine. Chaim Kanievsky is the goyim shebegoyim, the God of HaTorah. But the Stipler, he knew him personally. This is all king.
A lot of stories like that.
I have Stipler, like a different league. It reminds me of a story. Someone told me, I mean, just it's nothing to do with anything. Someone told me a story that Chassan, he went to the Stipler for a bracha on the day of his wedding. So he comes into the Stipler, and the Stipler, he starts screaming at him. The Stipler was a spook. The Stipler, he was a Malach Elokim. And he comes into the Stipler for a bracha on the day of his wedding, and he starts screaming at him. And telling him the Stipler. Shocking story. Yeah, this is Chassan. Shocking. Like the Stipler is screaming at him and giving him Musar and telling him about different things. And the Chassan is totally, he melts away. He's standing outside the office, the hall, whatever, the home of the Stipler, and he's crying. Long comes Rav Chaim Knievsky, the Stipler's son. This is probably a story, who knows, from 40 years ago, more even. Long comes Rav Chaim Knievsky, and he sees this Bachar, this chassan is crying. What's wrong? What happened? I went into your father, and he starts screaming at me and telling me all of these horrible things. I'm getting married tonight. Rav Chaim Knievsky calms him down. He says, "Don't worry." And he's mechazik him. He says to him, "Again, I don't know the details of the story. My father is just being mamtik din." What does that mean? This is like a Kabbalistic thing, is that today is a very, it's a Yom HaDin for you, and by him giving you Musar, he's releasing from you, whatever this means, say, I'm sure people don't do this, say, maybe they do, but he sees in you that there are problems. He's such a holy person, my father. He sees that there are some problems, and by screaming at you, giving you Musar, he is releasing you from any harsh din in Shemayim. Okay, whatever that means. And Rav Chaim Knievsky, he built up the Bachar, he built him up, he made him feel good, and he walked out of there a new man. Everything was Shalom Al Yisrael. This son, this person, he got married, had children. Years later, his son was getting married. So his father said to him, go to Rav Chaim Knievsky for a bracha. So he goes to the Schas and Rav Chaim Knievsky. He walks into in his home, and Rav Chaim Knievsky starts screaming at him. And he goes out into the hall, but there's no one. There's no one to build him up. There's no one there to build him up, to be mechazek him. Niskanu hadayos. This is how I heard the story. It's an interesting story. Okay, let's go further now in the list of the Giboyrim. So you have now here Pasuk Chavav V'Gibori HaChayolim. Now we have the list. Okay, we're going to run through this very, very quickly. Here are the Gibori HaChayolim. Now before we go, one thing I just want to point out. There are many terms for soldiers. This is something which in the art scroll tells us is completely lost from us. Unfortunately, a lot of things about Divrei Hayam, it's a Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, there are midrashim that have been lost from us to explain the nuances of expression and the deeper ideas. We have, when we started this perek, we have the Roshei HaGiborim. There are leaders of Giborim. Here it says, the Giborei HaChayolim. Later, we're going to have another expression. Okay, I don't have all of them in front of me, but it's something to look out for. There are many different descriptions of Giborim, which means that in the time of David, they had different roles. Like today, we'll have Elif Alef adults. You have to have the CIA, and you'll have the Marines, and you'll have the Army, and you'll have the Air Force. Every division of the Army has a different function. And these Giborim also have different functions, and it's alluded to in the way the Pesukim describe their function. Here it doesn't just say Stam, the Giborim. These are the Giborim HaChayolim. That's not what it says in Pasuk Yud, Roshei HaGiborim. And that's not what says, well, it says more, Roshei HaGiborim Asher LeDavid HaMischazkim Ima B'Malchusa. A whole different term. They were mischaskim ima b'malchusa. What exactly does that mean? It's not clear. And if you go to Sefer Shmuel, there are also multiple expressions which are not the same as what it says here in Divrei Hayamim. So there are different perspectives of what exactly their roles were, which unfortunately is lost from us. Pasuk Chavav, the Gibor HaChayolim, we have here Asoel Achi Yoyav. He is number one on the list. Next comes Elchanan ben Dodo, Mibeis Lochem. Now, according to some opinions, Asoel was part of the three. He was not part, we're mentioning as the Gibori HaChayolim, but Asoel was really part of the last three, which is difficult because since we mentioned Binayahu, and Binayahu is not from the three and it's not from the 30, why are we going backwards and listing a person who is going to be part of the three people who brought water to David? But nevertheless, that's one opinion. We have now this person called Elchanan ben Dodo Bibes Lochem, number Chav Zayin, Shamos Haha Rori. No, that's not one person. Next, Chelet. What?
Maybe Beis Lochem,
so it's going backwards. We're referring Elchanan, but that's Elchanan ben Dodo. Elchanan, everyone agrees Elchanan ben Dodo was part of the 30. But in the middle.
Definition for Dodo?
Dodo means an uncle.
That's what I'm looking for.
Elchanan, the son of Dodo, who's uncle? Uncle of who? The uncle of Asoel? Uncle of David? I do not know who his uncle is. So maybe the word of Dodo in this context is just a simple name. I don't know. I really don't know.
Dodo,
next, Pasuk of Zah, we have two more people, Shamos Haha Rori, period. Next, Cheletz Hapi Loni.
Doesn't
touch it as an uncle. Okay, so maybe Dodo in the Hagam also means an uncle. I don't know. Pasuk of Zah, two people, Shamos Hahari, Cheletz Hapi Loni, Pasuk of Ches, Ira Ben Ikesh HaTekoi from Tekoa. And then we have Aviezer HaHoan Sosi, Pasuk of Tes, Sabachai HaHushosi. Next, Eli Hoa Chochi Lamed Maharai Hanetofasi Cheled Ben Bano Hanetofasi. These are names of places, people names of places. Isai Ben Rivai Migivas Bnei Binyamin. So here we have a person from Binyamin, from the Giva. The Giva means the hill of Binyamin. And then we have Binayahu Hapir O Soni, another place. Churai Minachle Goash. Aviel Hoar Vasi, Pasik Lamid Gimel, Azmoves, what a name, we had it before, Habacha Rumi, and then El Yachbo Hashaal Voni, Pasik Lamidal, Bnei Hashem. Now here it says Bnei. Bnei is plural. Some want to learn that this includes more than one, it includes three, four, and this is a very nice variable in Sefer Shmuel. When you want to figure out the 36 and you short a couple different calculations and making the number 36, oh, so you have here the word B'nai, and B'nai is plural, so that means you had multiple sons, and they can fill in the missing gap. B'nai Hashem, Hagizoni, Okay, whoever they were, these children. Then we have this person called Yonah, son ben Shogei, haha, ra, ri. Pasuk lamed hey, achi, ben Sochor, haha, ra, ri, Eliphal ben Ur. Pasuk lamed vav, chefer, hamechera, si, achia, hapaloni. Pasuk lamed zayin, chetzra, karmeli, narai, ben ez, boy. Pasuk lamed ches, Yoel, achina, son, mivchor, ben Hagri, Lametes, Tselek, Lamoni, Nachrai, Habei, Rosi, Nosei. Who was this person? Nachrai, Habei, Rosi. We have a description of what his job was. He was Nosei, Klei, Yoyav, Ben, Tsuriya. He was the weapon carrier, the weapon carrier of Yoyav, Ben, Tsuriya. That was obviously a very important position. David was the Nosei Kalim for Shaul. So what David was to Shaul, this person, Nachrai Haberosi, was for Yoav. Yoav was the general for David. Yoav was a very important person. He was David's nephew, and he was a very close to David most of his life. At the end of his life, there was a falling out at the end of the life of David. Okay, Pasuk Tamem Ira Hayisri, Gorev Hayisri. And now we come to someone very important, Pasuk Nemalef Urya Hachiti Zavod Ben Achloi. Now in Sefer Shmuel, it ends with Uriah Hachiti. That is where the list ends. And the Mefarshim tell us that really the list should have gone on. Just like it goes on now in Sefer Divrei Hayam, it goes on to a few more Pesukim of war list. The reason why it stopped there was because Chazal are critical that his name should not have been listed. He should not have been included in the list because of the whole incident with David and Bathsheba. Bathsheba was the wife of Uriah Hachiti. David went and sent him out to battle in order that he should die. He was a Merba Malchus, the whole story. And because of the circumstances and the whole event, it was not proper that he should have been counted among David's Giboyrim. Now, who are we criticizing? I'm not exactly sure. We're criticizing the one who wrote Sefer Shmuel, or we're criticizing David, that David should not have allowed him to be included among his giborim because of what happened. I don't know exactly, but because it's so disturbing, the Mefarshim there in Sefer Shmuel say, we right away put an end to it. We stopped. Yeah, you're telling a story, and you get to part of the story that's so disturbing, I have to step out now. I don't want to continue anymore. And that's why in Sefer Shmuel, which is the story of David, it stops there. In Divrei Hayamim, we're not looking at it from that perspective, which is a little bit strange because we really are. We know that the whole Sefer Divrei Hayamim is all about David HaMelech. We're trying to miyaches David HaMelech. So when you mention Uriah Hachiti, that's a red flag. That's already a problem. Uriah Hachiti is problematic for David. But yet, in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, we're not stopping. We continue to mention more Giborim after Uriah Hachiti, starting with the person of Zavod ben Achloi, Pasuk Membeis, Adina ben Shizot. Today the word Adina is a woman's name, right? Adina.
Hey,
the head at the end?
Hey,
okay. So Adina ben Shizot, Haruveni, from Shevet Ruveni, Rosh La Ruveni, and V'olav Shloshim, he had 30 soldiers under him. Chanan ben Macha, V'yoy Shafat Hamisni, Uziyah, Ho'ashte Rasi, Shama V.E.L. B'nei Chosam Ho'a Ro'eri, Yidi'a'el Ben Shemri, V'yoycha Ochif, his brother, Ha'ti'tsi. These are all hard names. Eliel Ha'machavim, and V'rivai V'yoyshavya B'nei El Noam, V'yismo Ha'moravi. Eliel V'yoyveit, V'yasi'el Hamitzovaya. So these are all of the Giborim of David. And so I want to read one Grah. There's a very beautiful Grah here that tells if you go count the names, I count, there must be something like 45 names. And but on Sefer Shmuel, there are only really 36 names, or 36 or 37, depending on your count. If you look here in the Grah, let me find it. What else I have here? Be'uri Hagra. Okay. Wait, let me find. Okay, here it is. Right. You got it. Right. Just give me 1 second to kill the name of the pasuk. Pasuk Chavav. Right. Look at pasuk Chavav. V'gibori ha-chayolim as-so'el. Okay, pasuk bi'uri ha-groh. Pasuk Chavav hainu shohoye min ha-shleisha. As-so'el, these are from the 30. Shumin hoye min ha-shleisha gibarim ha-shniyim. As I mentioned to you before, that as-so'el is one of the three people of the second tier. As I mentioned, the difficulty with that approach is we have in the middle Binoyahu. We have a few psukim telling us about the greatness of Binoyahu, and Binoyahu is certainly not part of the three, so why are we going out of order? Okay, whatever it is, we're going out of order. The second group of three. Visar al Hashleshim, and he also was a leader, he was a leader over the next 30. Umispar Hashleshim hu min Elchanan. So the first of the 30 is the name which comes after Asoel. And who is the first person on the list? Elchanan. Ad Uriah Hachiti. So if you count from Elchanan, here in Pasuk Chav Beis, all the way to Uriah Hachiti, in Pasuk Mem Aleph, you'll have exactly 30. V'hashar dikachoshev kan. Oh, but there's more. After Uriah, we have Zavod ben Achloi. They were giborim, but they were not part of the elite group of 30. They were also giborim. For hone lamidvav. So what do we have? What is the significant number? 36. 30 from Elchanan until Uriah Hachiti. The three who brought for David the water, which included Asoel and Avshai. And some unnamed person. There's a person that's missing from the list. That was the second group of three. And the first group was Yoshavam, Elozar, and Shama. It was a grand total of 36. And then the fourth group, after Uriah Hachiti, they're Gibor, but not part of 36. Why do we need to know this number? For Honi Lamed Vav Gibor, Kulam Tzadikim Gemurim Hoyu. Kimasha Omar, Ashrei, fortunate, Kol, Chochei Lo, all those that yearn for Lo, for Hashem. So the Lo is Lamed Vav, famous pasuk, every child knows this, Lamed Vav Tzadikim, Sheho'ilam Miskayim Aleihem, that the world exists on. Uzuchus Masim Toivim, Vitzkosam, Oimei Lohem, the Zuchus of their good deeds and their righteousness, Oimei Lohem, Bimulchama, stands with them in the sakon of war. L'chei nifcharu elu levad la'amod b'mispar. That's why they're all mentioned by name. V'hashar, the others, af al pi, even though shahayu gibarim, l'olu b'mispar, they're not part of the number 36. So that's what we're trying to do here. 30 lamed vav tzadikim, these are the gibarim. Obviously, when it says here the gibarim, the Gemara is telling us it's not just physical might. The physical might is all connected with righteousness. If these are the lamed lamed vav tzadikim upon which the world stands, these are the greatest of the great. And they will also happen to be the biggest warriors. They went out to battle. They went out, they accomplished great things. And that's why it's so important for us to list these people here and in Sefer Shmuel. Bottom line, we have at least four groups. 30. Then we have leftovers, and then we have Binoyahu ben Yehoyada. Binoyahu ben Yehoyada, according to Mitzudos, is in between the 3 and the 30. So look at the hierarchy. The 3, the top 3, the second 3. After the second 3, we have Binoyahu ben Yehoyada, which is in between. Then we have 30. And then we have more. After Uriah Hachiti, there's more. Total of five different groups. We only want to focus on 36. The 36 are Asher Kol Chay Chay Loi. Why isn't Binoyahu Ben Yehoyada part of the 36? It's not Asher Kol Chay Chay Loi. Isn't he part of what it says that there was no one like him in the Bayis Rish, the Bayis Sheni? I don't know. These are all very mysterious.
Malbim gets into it too.
Yeah, gets to the calculation.
He starts to say a little bit about what he says, but he says, I think, like, I saw it was really one of the top six. Was it only gives us the other five? He was part of the top six, but he wasn't with the initial six. He hung around with the 30. So
yeah.
He listed him with the 30.
Even though...
Because that's who he
associated with.
Was, yeah.
Uh-huh.
He associated with
But
that.
He really was so part of the
part,
three.
But he was really
uh-huh.
part
that's
of
why it was okay.
six. That's the way. And the others, you know, with the counting off, he says you have alternates.
Right, okay, you okay,
don't.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So the,
all right,
you
okay.
Get moved, you get bumped.
And then you have to also take into account when it doesn't say for Shmuel.
No, that's what
that
the Bible said.
That was the book.
That's
yeah.
it. Somebody
there are different shifts.
Somebody dies.
Actually, 36. 36, Loi, right. 36, right. That's Loi.
Uriah was part of the
36. Uriah Hachid, he was part of the 30. Yeah, he was part of the Lamed Vav Tzadikim. Could you imagine?
But you said just now that he was Murray B'Malchus and all that kind of
stuff. Exactly. Excellent question. So what does it mean? I don't know. He was Murray B'Malchus. He comes to David and he says to David that my master is Yoyav. He was set up. What does it mean exactly? He was killed. He was sent to the front lines. David, Basheva. These are very big mysteries. Very big mysteries. Asher, the Gemara says, he was the Lamed Vav Tzadikim. Okay, we'll stop here.